All right, if you would turn into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Once you get there, I'd like to open in a word of prayer this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for this opportunity we have to be in this assembly, in this church. Lord, we're so thankful for what you did for us. Lord, that we have the privilege and opportunity to call ourselves the sons of God. We're thankful for this time of year where we remember our Savior. Lord, primarily his birth, when he came down to this earth and put on human flesh. Lord, if we would but take a few minutes to think about that, Lord, it's staggering to think about why deity would robe himself in humanity. Lord, but we're so thankful for that. Thankful for the birth of our Savior. Lord, we're thankful for the reason why he came. Lord, he came to die for the sins of the world. And Lord, without his coming, without his death on Calvary's cross, Lord, who knows where we would all be this morning. Lord, we certainly wouldn't be here. No doubt we would be out in this world fulfilling the lust of our flesh, thinking that we're having a good time, but Lord, really just paving the path, a horrible path to hell. Lord, so this morning we say thank you for all you have done for us in sending your only begotten Son into this world to lay down his life for us. Lord, I pray now as we open up the scriptures this morning that you would help us to understand what your word would have for us today. Lord, I pray that as we study this passage about the wise men, we would learn the lessons that we can. And Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we might leave this place and begin to put these things into practice into our lives. Lord, it's one thing to hear, but Lord, it's another thing to do. Lord, as thankful as I am for all the people that have come out to church today to hear your word preached, Lord, I know you would be pleased much greater if we would leave this place and start living what we hear. Lord, I pray that you would help us with that. Lord, our flesh is strong. Lord, for many I know, and myself, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, we pray that we would be in your word and we would allow your Holy Spirit to fill us and control us, that as we do leave this place, Lord, we might walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of our flesh. Lord, again, I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you again for these people that have come to hear your word. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing and a challenge unto them this morning. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Christmas has come to be known as the most wonderful time of the year. And at least for me, it is. It is one of the most wonderful times of the year, and it's because Jesus is wonderful. We sing songs like Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. We sing songs like Joy to the World. All of these different songs are meant to show us that Christmas is to be indeed a joyous and happy time. It's to be a trouble-free season as we remember what Christ did for us. But unfortunately for many, and perhaps even for some here today, this Christmas is anything but joyous to you. Perhaps it's personal problems. Perhaps it's marital problems. Maybe it's family problems, financial problems. I don't know what it might be in your life, but this Christmas time is not filled with the joy that it is supposed to bring. For you, Christmas isn't so merry at this time of year. What I want to do this morning is I want to read through Matthew chapter 2, and I want to give you some lessons that we can learn from the wise men that hopefully will help improve your level of joy this year at Christmas. Now, many people forget, as we go about reading Matthew chapter 2, that the wise men weren't actually there the night that Jesus was born. Oftentimes, as you see the different nativity displays set up, you'll see the wise men there around the manger with the shepherds and the animals. But according to the scriptures, that's not how it was. It makes for a nice, fuller nativity scene. But it's not really biblical. As we read here in Matthew chapter 2, it was after the birth of the Lord Jesus that the wise men came to worship him. So they weren't there the exact night of his birth. They were there not too long after. Some even speculate it could be up to a full year afterwards that the wise men came to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We also notice from this passage, it really goes against tradition, is that there weren't necessarily three wise men. The Bible just says wise men. Now, there were three gifts, and we often take from that because there are three gifts, there must be three wise men. But that doesn't have to necessarily be the case. There's lots of presents maybe under your tree and under my tree, but it just came from me, from one person. But nonetheless, there no doubt was a plurality of wise men, but nothing necessarily to say three wise men. And the other thing that we'll notice from this passage as we read it is that in verse number 11, the Bible's very clear that they came and saw the young child. Okay, so Jesus is no longer a baby. He is a young child at this time when the wise men come, and again, the Bible says into the house, not into the stable, where they present their gifts to this newborn king. So this morning I want to read through Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, and I want to give you some practical lessons on how to have a Merry Christmas. So Matthew chapter 2, we'll begin reading verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" So how to have a Merry Christmas. The word Merry, if you were to look it up, means delightful, jovial, joyous. No doubt every person in this room today wants to have a delightful Christmas, a joyful Christmas, a Merry Christmas. But unfortunately, many of you won't at this time of year. You say, "Pastor, why is that?" Because your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to three things that we see exemplified in this passage. Very practical points for you this morning. Point number one, your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you seek. I'll state that again. Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you seek. Verses 1 and 2 here in our passage tell us that the wise men were seeking what? They were seeking to worship the newborn king. And because they were seeking Jesus, guess what the Bible says happened when they found him? They were filled with joy. Unfortunately, Christmas has become a time where many people seek and worship the wrong things. This is most evident in children. Last night, we were at the Ryan Township Firehouse Christmas party. And they put that on every year, at least since we've been here. And it's a fun time where you can go. It's for the kids. You know, they do crafts and things of that nature. And then Santa comes and he passes out a gift for every kid. And it's a fun time. And of course, as is always the case, one time a year when we go to that, there's always that one kid that opens up his present and just throws a conniption fit. And you know, I sit back and inwardly I laugh, but outwardly it's very sad. Why? Because to that child, that's what Christmas is all about. Okay? In their mind, they're looking for one gift or a few gifts from the big man in the red suit. And if they don't get that one gift from the big man in the red suit, it's it. It's all over. I mean, they are sorrowing like you thought they had some horrible disease. I mean, just crying and crying and crying. It's one of the things I try to teach my children. No doubt you try to teach your children. Christmas is not about those things. Now, we go to those things because it's fun. It gives us an activity to do. But whether or not you like the gift that you receive has nothing to do or should have nothing to do with your joy at Christmas. Why? Because that should not be what you're seeking after. And I think sometimes as adults, we fall into the same deception as children. We're looking for that one thing at Christmas that's going to make us happy. And if we don't get it, we don't have a Merry Christmas. We don't have a joyful Christmas. So my question to you this morning is this. What are you seeking after? What are you seeking after this Christmas? Is it some type of toy? Some type of electronic? Maybe even some type of feeling. According to what we see here in this passage, what we really should be seeking after is to worship the newborn King. No doubt all of us will say Jesus is the reason for the season, but yet we spend very little time seeking after Him and worshiping Him. Sunday comes, it's Christmas, and we barely have time for church. I really got to scratch my head about that. It's Christmas! Christian friend, you'll find if you have no time for Jesus at Christmas, you'll have very little joy in your life. I'm not saying you won't be happy for an hour on Christmas morning when you open your presents. I'm not saying you won't be happy when you go to that Christmas party. But you won't have real, lasting joy. Why? Because you're seeking after the wrong thing. The only place where we can find real joy, lasting joy, is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the devil, he's smart. He disguises it all. And again, they're good things. And like I just said, it's not bad to do some of those things. All right, you want to go to a firehouse Christmas party? Go ahead. You want to go to a ladies' Christmas party? The church will put one on. We're not against those things. But don't think you're going to find true joy in all of that. You'll find happiness for the time. And my wife was happy. My wife loves going to those things. So ladies, thank you for coming and doing a good job with all that. She really enjoys those. But guess what? 2 days later, you kind of forget about that. It's happy. It's a good time. But you go back to your life and all the problems come back. And you'll find that that activity, that present, didn't really bring you lasting joy. Why is that? Because it never can do that. The only person that can bring you lasting joy is Jesus Christ, seeking after Him and worshiping Him. Perhaps it would be a good thing for some of us to back off the parties and the presents and to focus on Jesus a little bit more this Christmas. Again, think about this. What if the wise men had been too busy to notice the star? Think about that. It wasn't like Jesus came to them in a vision. They were studying the heavens. And like the Bible says, it declares the glory of God. And because they weren't too busy doing other things, they saw the star, and it led them to the place where Jesus was, where they could worship Him. And unfortunately, I think too many Christians are too busy at Christmas. Again, not with bad things. We go to all of these upteen parties, and we have this party and that party and this party, and then Sunday comes around and we're too tired or we don't have time to go to church. What is Christmas about? It's not about the parties. We spend all of our money on presents. We have no money to give to the Lord and His work, perhaps even a brother and sister in Christ that we know is in need. We say it's about Christ, but really it's all about us. Again, if you want to have joy at Christmas, you need to seek after the right thing. And your level of joy this Christmas will be if you seek after the right thing. This is what we see exemplified with the wise men. Point number two. Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to where you look. State that again. Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to where you look. Again, from these wise men, we can see that there are wrong and right places to look for Christmas. According to their human wisdom, guess where the wise men went first? Jerusalem. Why? Because of course a king would be born in the capital. Of course a king would be born in the great palaces of Jerusalem. But they arrived there. There was no newborn king. It actually was going to get them in a lot of trouble because now Herod was onto their trail. And of course we know he entices them to try to tell them and come back to him because he wants to kill the newborn king, and no doubt he's got it in for the wise men too. But again, according to human wisdom, many times we as Christians look in the wrong place for Christmas. Our human reasoning says that we'll find joy at the mall shopping on Black Friday. And I'm not against that. Okay? I go every once in a while, and if you're kind of like me, it's kind of fun. Okay, but that doesn't bring lasting joy. For some, it brings fights. Our human reasoning says that we'll find joy at the Christmas parties that we go to. Again, those are good and they're fun. But you're looking in the wrong place for lasting joy. Our human reasoning says we'll find joy if we get the right Christmas present. But again, give it a week, and you'll find that it's not lasting joy. It was happiness to an extent, but it didn't fill those voids in your life. You say, then, Pastor, where can I find this joy that you speak about? The same place the wise men did. Look with me at verses 9 and 10 again. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Where did the wise men find joy? Where the young child was. You notice that? Very clear in the scriptures. They found joy where the young child was. Now Jesus is no longer a young child, but no doubt the truth remains the same. When you are where Jesus is, there will be exceeding great joy in your life. You say, well, Pastor, we have a dilemma. Jesus is not here. I cannot be with him. I cannot gather around him like the wise men did and worship him. But friend, the truth is this. Jesus is here with us, and he's contained within the pages of this book we call the Bible. You know, the scriptures are nothing but a testimony and a testament of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, when he talked to the two on the road to Emmaus, said, won't you study your scriptures and see that they all speak about me? Jesus, yes, may not be here in human form, but he is here. In the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think Christians undervalue the importance of the Scriptures in their life. I'll say that again. I think many Christians undervalue the importance of the Scriptures in their life. And you say, I don't have joy. How much are you in the Scriptures? Okay? If you're not reading the scriptures, and I'm not saying one cute little verse every day, I'm saying you're in the scriptures trying to get to know who Jesus is, that's where you'll find real joy. You're not going to find it at the Christmas parties. You're not going to find it opening the presents. You're not going to find it shopping at the mall. Those are good things and they're happy things, but you'll not have joy. Joy is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, which for us today is in the Scriptures. I posted this on our church group page this past week. I hope you watched it. If not, let me tell you what the study was. There was a recent study done by the Center for Bible Engagement that polled 40,000 Christians to see how they were engaging with the Scriptures. This is what they found. Now listen to this. When a Christian is in the Scriptures one time a week, it had negligible effect on key areas in their life, meaning it really didn't make a difference. One time didn't make a difference. Two times a week, still no negligible effect. Now at three times a week, they said it that there was a blip on the map. Okay, it was just a little spike. So a little effect, but hardly any effect if you were in the Scriptures three times a week. But they found this: when a Christian reads and studies his Bible four times a week, the effects spiked off the chart. Now think about this. You would think there would be this gradual incline. It wasn't. It was one time a week, nothing. Two times a week, nothing. Three times a week, barely. Four times a week, way up here. Why? Because the more you engage with Jesus, the more he makes a difference in your life. Amen. This is what they found. I'm going to give you the statistics here. Four times a week. Okay, I'd hope you do it seven times a week. But four times a week, this is what they found. Feeling lonely dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Getting drunk dropped 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Okay, and I would say that most Christians, that is one of the biggest complaints. I don't feel like I'm spiritually there. How many times are you in your Bible? Well, one time, two times, you're going to feel spiritually stagnant. Four. At least four. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Sex outside of marriage dropped 68%. Gambling dropped 74%. Those are the negatives, the positive. Sharing your faith jumped 200%. Think about that. You say, Pastor, I just can't. I can't tell people about the Lord. How many times do you read your Bible? The more you engage with Jesus, the more you can't help but tell people about him. The more you engage with Jesus, the more you can't help but tell people about him. Discipling others jumped 230%. That means you're taking somebody and you're teaching them. So I could never teach somebody is because you don't know the Bible yourself. You're not confident in the Scriptures yourself, and that's why you can't teach somebody. Be in the Scriptures at a minimum four times a week, that'll jump 230%. You'll be confident to tell people and to share with people the Word of God, whether it be the gospel or the different doctrines contained within the Word of God. Now, why all these massive changes? Because when you engage with Jesus, you'll find real joy. It doesn't matter if you're not having a great relationship with somebody, because my joy is not based off of that relationship. My joy is based off of the Lord. It doesn't matter if, go down through the list, whatever's going on in my life, if I'm in the Word, if I'm with Jesus, I live drastically different. Because the more you engage with Jesus in the Word, it changes how you live and it gives you the joy you're so desperately needing. So many people at Christmas feel lonely and depressed. You know what you should encourage them to do? Read the Scriptures. Read them. Not find a cute verse. Read the Scriptures and read them and read them and read them. Engage with the Scriptures. Why? Because where the young child is, there will be joy. This is where you find joy with Jesus. Number three, your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. state that again. Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. Look with me again at verse number 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So the Bible tells us that when the wise men came, they gave the child Jesus three gifts. Now these were quite valuable gifts, very appropriate gifts if you study them out. We're not going to get deep into them today. I'd like to do a message and really get into the three gifts. But we see that gold was a gift for a king. And we know that Jesus would indeed be the King of Kings. He was and is the King of Kings. Frankincense was a gift for a priest. Priests used frankincense in the worship of the temple. Of course, we know that Jesus is our high priest. He is the one and only mediator between God and man. He is the high priest, and they recognize that with the giving of frankincense. Myrrh was a gift for the dead. Myrrh was a fragrant ointment used to anoint a dead body before burial. And by giving this gift, the wise men acknowledged why Jesus had been born. He had come to die for the sins of the world. But the point I want to make this morning is that these wise men didn't come to Jesus expecting gifts. They came presenting gifts. You see, Christmas is not about getting. It's about giving. And your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give, not what you receive. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. We know this verse. I want us to read it all together. Think about it just for a minute. Acts 20, 35. If you have a red letter Bible like mine, I just want you to read the red letter portion. These are the words of Jesus in Acts 20, 35. Wait for you all to get there. Ready? Say it with me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's do that again. Let's read it. Ready? It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know what the word blessed means? One of its definitions. Happy. Okay. You want joy at Christmas? Give. Give. Don't just receive. Now, if we're supposed to give, then there has to be people that are receiving. I understand that. But listen, your level of joy at this Christmas time is directly related not to what you get from people. I'm not saying that doesn't make us happy and we're not blessed when people give to us. But it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what the Lord Jesus says. You want to have a merry Christmas? You want a joyful Christmas? Then give this Christmas time. And I'm not just talking about material things. Give the gift of your time. Think about that. Husbands, wives, even with our children. Christmas has become so busy. You know what a lot of people just really want? Your kids, husbands, your spouse. They just want your time. They don't want to have to run here, there, and everywhere. They want to sit on the floor with you and play a game. That's what they want. And that, kids want toys, but they want your time. Give the gift of your time. Perhaps even at the church or places around. Maybe you could think of people that are in need and give your time to help them. Give the gift of forgiveness. If there's any time of year where we should be willing to forgive, shouldn't it be at Christmas? You say, well, you don't know what they did to me. Do you remember what you did to Jesus? But he forgave you. One of the best gifts you could give somebody this Christmas, and really it would be a good gift for yourself, is to forgive that person for what they did. give the gift of help. There's a lot of people that need help this Christmas. That goes back to time. But we don't have time, so we can't help. Give the gift of kindness. If you give these types of gifts at Christmas, I can promise you this, you will have a merry Christmas. You will have a joyful Christmas. You will have a fulfilled Christmas. But when it's all about you, because in your mind it's more blessed to receive than give, yes, you'll be happy. But when all of those events are done, you're going to go right back to where you were, depressed and discouraged, because none of those things really brings true joy in your life. So this is my challenge for all of us this year. Do you want to have a merry Christmas? Do you want to experience real joy at this time of year? Not just happiness for 1 hour, not just happiness on Christmas morning, but if you want to have a joyful and merry Christmas, then remember these three things. Seek after the right thing, and that's Jesus. Look in the right place, and that's in your Bible. And give to those in need. And if you will do those three things, you will have joy. Your level of joy this Christmas is directly related to what you seek, where you look, and what you give. This is the lesson we can learn from the wise men. Let's pray.